Thank you, Mr. Thomas, and good morning, everyone. I'm used to saying good afternoon. Thankfully, we have church in the afternoon in Atlanta. It has been a wonderful feast, and I do appreciate the sentiment that we've rejoiced so much. We've had such a good time, and it can be sad to think about going home, but we have a lot to take with us. I do want to kind of give a special shout out to some of our friends back home that are listening on the webcast. A couple of ladies, Barb Connor, Jennifer Hill, that are listening, and a special couple in Atlanta, Bill and Paula. I probably messed her name up, and she'll correct me later. Brown. They're from the Atlanta congregation. Paula is one of those ladies that when you need something done with God, if you need a prayer answered, you go to her. I've teased her. I've said sometimes when I'm praying, God will say, "Hold on, Paula's on the other line," and I have to wait for her. But anyway, I want to thank. I've been a little bit under the weather this feast, and there's been a lot of doctors that have helped me. My family, my wife, my daughter-in-law, the Graby doctors have helped me. Lynn Estes has helped me. So there's been a lot of doctors that have helped me get through this, so I appreciate it. Anyway, we've experienced so much joy here at the Feast of Tabernacles. We're reminded of the wonderful blessings that God has given each one of us. We're reminded that yes, we are unique. We are different. We are called of God. We are reminded of our incredible potential that God has in store for us. We affirm that this is the only way of life. But you know, this is the seventh day. What's next? We have the eighth day tomorrow. But where do we go from here? You know, we've had an incredible week. We've celebrated with family. We've celebrated with friends. We've made new friends. Look around you today. These people sitting here with you are God's people. And in the millennium, we're going to be working together. This group, along with others around this world that are first fruits, are called out. They're the elect that God the Father and Jesus Christ are working with. You are that group. God is using you today, tomorrow, next week, next year, to help carry on his work. Years ago, as our former organization imploded, we were told that we were not special, that we were not unique, that we were like all other religions, or they tried to make us like other religions. And I beg to differ. They're wrong. Now I know, it is not because we individually are special people or great, because we're not. We break down. We're not as powerful as we may want to be. But we, as a group, are a special people. It's because God the Father has called us. He has called us into his church. He has given us his truth. He has given us his spirit. He has made us special, and he has made us unique. He has called us into his Son and into a relationship with him. He has called us to be part of his family. He has called us to be kings and priests in his kingdom, in his new world that will be coming to this earth. And he has called us, as we've heard so many messages during this feast, he has called us to learn. He has called us to grow and to better understand what he has in store for us. Our next step, each one of us, our next step is to go back to our jobs, our young people, to your schools, to our local congregations, to our neighborhoods, and to live what we have learned. Again, we have enjoyed so much. We've rejoiced with others, as we should. We need to take this excitement, this thrill, this energy, and go back home. We should be pumped up. We should be ready to go back to our local congregations and serve and to help our local churches grow and to be excited for the future. You know, God is doing marvelous things in our lives. He has given us everything that we have. And He loves us. He loves us more than we can imagine. You know, I love my wife, and I love my three sons, and my daughter-in-law, and my future daughter-in-law, sitting in the front row over here. They got engaged right before the feast this year. But I know that God loves them more than I do. He loves your children. It's hard to comprehend God's love for us, but it is a pure and perfect love. And God has offered us, He's offered you, He's offered me, He's offered us eternal life in His kingdom. But you know, there's more. He's offered us to be a part of His family. You know, like we have these, my daughter-in-law joined us over Labor Day to be a part of our family. We have, I don't know when the date is, but we have another one going to be a part of our family, and he is going to be a part of the Graby family. And we're excited about that. But you know, we're not going to be guests in the kingdom of God. We're going to be more than that. We're not going to be servants in the kingdom of God, per se. We're going to be serving. But we're going to be part of the God family in the kingdom of God. Part of God the Father and Jesus Christ. God the Father and Jesus Christ are building a family, and they are preparing the church. They're preparing you and I to be part of that family. We are sons and daughters, family members. We're family members of the King of the Kingdom. We're part of that special, unique family. You know, when we go back in a couple days, this is what should keep us going. We should be motivated as we go through the remainder of fall and the remainder of winter. We have such wonderful promises from an awesome, from a faithful God. And we should be able to handle anything that comes our way. You know, between now and the Feast of Tabernacles 2019, we'll face challenges. I think somebody mentioned the other day, there's some here that won't make it through next year for whatever reason. We will have our highs and we'll have our lows. But no matter what happens, we have the greatest hope. We can't get bogged down with the ways and cares of this world. You know, we heard about that in the messages yesterday, about the terrible civilization that we live in today. The world is out there waiting for us to get caught up in its distractions, its ugliness, and its confusion. We will face challenges. We will face some trials through this year, some minor, some irritating, some major, and some staggering. It is a part of life. It's a part of our Christian walk. If you'll turn with me to 2 Chronicles, please. 2 Chronicles 20. 2 Chronicles 20, verse 2 and 3. Second Chronicles 20, verse 2 and 3. Then some came and told Jehoshaphat, saying, "A great multitude is coming against you from beyond the sea, from Syria, and they are in Hazeron Tamar, which is En-Gedi." And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. Let's go down to verse 14, please. Verse 14. Then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jeliel, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite of the sons of Asaph, in the midst of the assembly. And he said, "Listen, all you of Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem, and you, King Jehoshaphat. Thus says the Lord to you, do not be afraid nor dismayed because of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow go down against them, They will surely come up by the ascent of Ziz, and you will find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jeruel. You will not need to fight in the battle. Position yourselves, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord. Who is with you, O Judah and Jerusalem? Do not fear or be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord is with you. And Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem bowed before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. Now this is obviously talking about going to war with an enemy. But we face an enemy every day, don't we? Satan, the devil, the master deceiver. You know, as we picture, this is the seventh day of the feast. As we picture it in the millennium, Satan has been put away for a long time and he's going to be getting ready to get out. And I'm sure he's agitated and angry. He's going to come on the scene for a little while. And he's out there right now, agitated and angry as we just look at what's happening in this world. But you know, God is greater than that being. You know, we just read, you will not have to fight this battle. Take up your position, stand firm, and see the deliverance the Lord will give you, Judah and Jerusalem. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Go out and face them tomorrow, and the Lord will be with you. When we go back, God is with us to fight our battles. As we go back to work, as we go back to school, God is with you. You know, I've been doing the Feast of Tabernacles for a long time, since I was a little baby. But I remember going to school, then going to the feast, and I hated going back that first day. I just hated that. I dreaded that day. Loved the feast, never thought about not going. But going back to school was just a terrible, and I know what some of you young people did. My sons went through it, my wife went through it. That anxiety is real, and I went through it, and I hated it. But I'm pretty sure, as I think about it, when I went back, I made it bigger in my head than it really was. Because after all, some people didn't even know I was gone. I thought I was the center of the universe, and they didn't miss me. A lot of the teachers didn't even know I was gone. We have challenges sometimes, they're bigger. They're bigger than going back to school, but it's real. But we face challenges every day. But no matter how big or how small, God will help us and fight these battles. You know, we've been hearing great things at this Feast of Tabernacles. We've heard some tremendous sermons during this Feast of Tabernacles, showing us that we're going to be kings, showing us that we're going to be priests, showing us that we're going to be teachers in the world tomorrow, showing us a glimpse of that future, a glimpse of our future, a glimpse of your future. You know, the future is bright. It's wonderful. It's awesome for older people and for young people. If I can take a minute, I want to talk to the young people. I know we've had a message for the preteens and the young adults, but I'll talk to the young people a little bit today. You know, you're here to learn. You know, I sat as a teenager in the back, not here, but other places. We had 12, 15,000 people at feast sites. And I listened sometimes, and sometimes I didn't listen. I passed a lot of notes. But you know, you're here to learn, because this is your way of life. This is your future. There's so many wonderful opportunities in the Church of God today and in your future. You know, I had the opportunity to do the team Bible study the other night, and I'm impressed with some of these young people and the knowledge that they carry. And a lot of them are feeling that this is their church. This is their way of life. It's not just mom and dad's church. And that is awesome. You know, I grew up, again, in the church. Every year, I went to the Feast of Tabernacles with a lot of my friends. We'd go and we'd have a lot of fun. A lot of these friends, and for many years, we played basketball together. We ran track together. We danced together. And boy, did we dance in the 1970s and the 1980s. That's when music was real. And we didn't do any of this line dancing. Maybe a few, but we danced individually, like John Travolta Tallis. That's how we danced. And in our minds, we were cool. But you know, we had a wonderful time. We had activities. We had YOU weekends every other weekend. We played basketball. The girls cheerlead and they played basketball. We ran track in the summertime. We had campouts. We had so many fun activities. But I look around today and I don't see those friends anymore. I don't see them because they've made different choices. They went to the feast one year, and between that year and the next year, they said, I'm not going back for whatever reason. They chose a different path. You know, there's a couple ladies, I think they're sitting in the back. They're from Missouri now, but I saw them a couple days ago at the feast, and they were part of when we grew up together in the church. And it's a blessing to see that. But there are so few of them. You know, so many left during their senior years in high school or when they became young adults in college because the world seemed more interesting than this way of life. It seemed more exciting. It seemed more thrilling. They had more important things to do. And I'm telling you, that's not right. It's not good. And I encourage those kids in that Bible study to talk. If they feel that they maybe don't want to go back next year, talk. Not to their buddies so much, but find a pastor or an elder, a member in the church to talk to. Because this is important. I told them they are the future of the Church of God. You know, if you look at Mr. Kubik mentioned it and others, the ministry is aging. Christ will return. He is going to return, 100% he's going to return. We just don't know when. And we need young people sometimes to step up and to help. You know, I see the lives of some of my friends that I grew up with. Thank you, Facebook, because that's the only reason I know anything about them. But some of them seem very successful. They seem very happy. But I know something's missing in their lives. They're missing this. I think it's still in there. I think God can pull it back out eventually. But they're missing this. You know, I don't bring this up to be negative at the Feast of Tabernacles. I bring it up because we care about you young people. We want you to experience this time of joy throughout your whole lives. You know, there are so many things that can pull us away from the church. So many desires in this world. So many things that can pull us out. But I'm going to ask you when you go back home to stop and to come back and replay the messages that you heard at the Feast of Tabernacles. Listen to them again. Put them into your lives. You know, you're here for a reason. Every one of us is here for a reason. We're here to listen. We're here to learn. We're here so that we can teach others God's way of life. If you turn with me to Deuteronomy 30, verse 19. And I covered this in the teen Bible study because it's one of my favorite scriptures. Deuteronomy 30, verse 19. 19 and 20. Deuteronomy 30, verse 19 and 20. I call heaven and earth as witnesses today against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing, Therefore, choose life, that both you and your descendants may live, that you may love the Lord your God, that you may obey his voice, that you may cling to him, for he is your life and the length of your days. What a fantastic scripture. It's pretty simple. And I asked them, do you choose blessings or you do choose cursings? Every one of them said you choose blessings. We choose blessings. We choose life. We've been given a gift of incredible magnitude. We have been given this feast, a time, a picture of God's future kingdom. This is what God is asking you to choose. He has set before you life and death. He wants you to choose life. He has given us his holy days. He has given us his plan. He's given us an insight into his plan, into what he is doing. This is the life he wants you to choose. There is nothing out there in this world that is so important, or any girl so pretty, or any young man so handsome, that you want to give up this way of life. Nothing is that important. You know, when we go back in a few days, we have to remember the words of life that we're hearing and put them into our lives. Learn them so that we can teach our children, and they can teach their children, and they can teach their children, and they can teach their children God's way of life. Turn with me, if you would, to Psalm 78. Psalm 78, verse 1. I'm going to read verses 1 through 7. Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children, telling to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful works that he has done. For he established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers, that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, the children who would be born, that they may arise and declare them to their children, that they may set their hope in God and not forget the works of God and keep his commandments. This is why we're here, to learn, to drink in, to absorb, so that we can teach our children this way of life, and they can pass it on to their children. God is a family. You are part of that family. Your children, one day, God willing, will be a part of that family as well. They will be sitting somewhere around this world celebrating the Feast of Tabernacles as you do. Are we learning? Are we growing? Are we a better person than we were when we walked through those doors a week ago? Have we learned more about what God is offering us? Are we ready to teach that to others? Part of our journey in God's church is getting prepared for God's kingdom, prepared to meet Jesus Christ when he returns to this earth to set up his kingdom. Turn with me to Revelation 19, please. Revelation 19, verse 7. Revelation 19, verse 7. Let us be glad and rejoice and give him glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife has made herself ready. And to her it was granted to be arrayed in fine linen, clean and bright, for the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. Then he said to me, write, blessed are those who are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said to me, these are the true sayings of God. We are prepared, being prepared, to be that bride. We are now being prepared at this Feast of Tabernacles to be that bride. As we read, the bride has made herself ready. She has prepared. You know, you can read, you don't have to turn there, but Matthew 25, 1 through 13, we know the parable of the 10 virgins. How the bridegroom was coming, and they were asleep. Five had oil and five did not. Five were prepared to meet the bridegroom. The other five were not. We have to make sure that we have that oil, that we're prepared to meet that bridegroom. Are we prepared? Are we ready? I hope we are. You know, over Labor Day this last year, our middle son, Ryan, got married to a lovely young lady, Rachel Mez. And I know Rachel spent a lot of time preparing and getting ready for that event. There were hours, months of planning, getting ready, prepared for that day when she would meet with her bridegroom. On the day of the wedding, the bridal party had to walk over this slight hill to enter the area where the ceremony took place. The wedding organizer, who was walking with Rachel, told my wife and I that Rachel wanted to run up that hill as fast as she can to meet her groom. She was ready. She was excited, which we were pleased. But she was excited to see her soon-to-be husband. When Ryan, the bridegroom, saw her coming down the aisle, just as beautiful as a bride could be, his eyes teared up. Here was his bride, his love, coming down that aisle. He too had prepared. He too had made ready. He was anxiously waiting to embrace his beautiful bride. Could it be that that is how Jesus Christ will look at us as we come into the kingdom of God as his church? When he sees his church dressed in white coming to meet him, will he have that same look, that same anxiety, that same I can't wait? And will we be like Rachel and want to run into the arms of Jesus Christ? You know, when Rachel and Ryan made eye contact, Rachel burst into tears. I think she actually saw me and realized what her future was going to be like. So I know her tears were mixed with joy and fear. But she, you know, he ran to her and comforted her and guided her up to the ceremony. You know, we're here preparing for that same event. We're here preparing for the return of Jesus Christ. You know, we can leave the Feast of Tabernacles. We can go back home and go through a situation or two. And we forget a time that we really have. And we forget for a time who is really in charge of our lives. We have to remember that God loves us more than we love our own children. And that God is going to protect us and take care of us. You know, this world is coming at us with one crazy idea after another. Satan has attacked everything. He's just trying to destroy the family and everything that is good. He has made people believe that evil is good and good is evil, as we heard yesterday. We live in a world where it's hard to know what is really true. Even when we see a video of it on TV, we don't even know if it's true. We live in a world of violence and pain. But, you know, we've had so much peace here at God's Feast. It's been a joy to kind of put that away for a while. But as we go back, we can be discouraged. We can get down. But, you know, one of my other favorite scriptures is in Habakkuk 1, verse 5, and I'll just read it out of the NIV. Habakkuk was complaining. He says, "How long, Lord, must I call for help, but you do not listen? Or cry out to you, violence, but you do not save? Why do you make me look at injustice? Why do you tolerate wrongdoing? Destruction and violence are before me. There is strife and conflict abounds. Therefore, the law is paralyzed, and justice never prevails. The wicked hem in the righteous, so that the justice is perverted." Habakkuk was complaining because people were not doing what was right, and it seemed like they were living pretty good lives. The Lord's answer, he says in verse 5, "Look at the nations and watch, and be utterly amazed, for I am going to do something in your days that you would not believe, even if you were told." I just love that scripture. When we get discouraged, as Habakkuk did, we have to remember that God is on our side. God is doing things that are utterly amazing. We have so much hope. You know, when God says he's going to do something that's amazing, it's going to be pretty special, pretty awesome, very special. You know, we are close to the end of the Feast of Tabernacles for this year. And I hope when we go home this year, whether we're young or old, we take the messages that we have heard and we put them into our minds, into our hearts. I hope that we practice what we have heard and learned. I hope that we realize the incredible blessings that we have of being a part of this church today, a part of preaching the true gospel throughout the world so that others, as we'll hear tomorrow, can have an opportunity to hear and to understand the things that we know. And I hope we can teach our children that this is the right way of life. This is the only way of life. And I hope you young people today, you grasp that. This is the way of life. This is not your parents' church. This is God's church, and you are a part of it. There is no other way of life than what you have here. And we're learning that at these Feast of Tabernacles. We have a purpose in life. God has given us a purpose in life. God has set before you life and death. He's given you the plan, the right plan. And God has chosen each one of us. He's chosen you to be a part of his family. It is an awesome calling. God has great joy when we learn to walk in his ways, when we walk with him. I have one more scripture, and this might be my favorite scripture. I know I've had several favorite scriptures here. 3 John 4, and I would just read it. 3 John 4. I think of this scripture when I think of my sons and my daughters-in-laws and my future daughter-in-laws and someday my grandchildren, God willing. 3 John 4, "I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth." God has that same joy. When we walk with him, he has great joy. As a parent, we have great joy when we walk, when our children walk in the truth. We are to be teaching our children to walk in the truth. They, in turn, will teach their children to walk in the truth. If some choose to not walk in the path right now, which happens, God knows who they are. He doesn't forget them. One day he'll bring them back. So let's go back home. Well, let's wait till tomorrow. And let us remember why we're here. Let us think about what we have heard. And let us practice what we have learned. Let us prepare as a bride for the bridegroom. Let us prepare to be kings and priests. The kingdom is coming. Let's be ready. Have a wonderful Feast of Tabernacles.